The latest entrant in the Democratic presidential candidates race, retired General Wesley Clark, makes his first official campaign appearances today in Florida and Iowa. Historian David Greenberg writes the History Lesson column for Slate. Here's an opinion piece from him on Wes Clark and other generals who have served as commander-in-chief.
Of the 43 American presidents, 10 have been former generals. That's almost a quarter. Yet Americans have always felt ambivalent about military leaders and politics. It's no wonder, then, that political generals have consistently invoked a certain Roman hero. Cincinnatus was coaxed out of a pastoral retirement to lead Rome during a siege in 458 BC, and then willingly gave up power to return to his farm. In U.S. history, no one has been likened to Cincinnatus more than George Washington. Washington, of course, answered the call to duty in the Revolutionary War, returned to his farm, and then heeded the call again when the early Republic needed its first president. Generals since then have also fashioned themselves as non-political public servants, high above the fray. They've tried to get others to draft them into public office rather than advertising their own ambitions. In 1836 and 40, supporters of General William Henry Harrison called him the farmer of North Bend, who is willing, reluctantly, to leave his plow to save his country.
With Harrison, our country's won. No treachery can divide her. Thy will be done with Harrison, log cabin and heart cider.
The same has been true more recently. In 1948, both parties courted Dwight Eisenhower as a presidential candidate.
You have summoned me on behalf of millions of your fellow Americans to lead a great crusade.
He won the office as a Republican in 1952. And now Wesley Clark seems to bask in the draft Clark committees that have sprouted up.
Especially I want to recognize the hundreds of people who are here because of the draft Clark movement. Thank you.
By playing Cincinnatus, Clark and other military chiefs can radiate purity and appeal to the public's distrust of power-grasping career politicians. Clark also follows another tradition of political generals. In America, soldier candidates typically succeed when, like George Washington, they use their experience in war to show how much they value peace. Sometimes it's a tough sell. Andrew Jackson had to overcome a reputation for being brutal and dictatorial. Another such leader emerged during the Civil War. Ulysses S. Grant was viewed as a ferocious commander for the Union Army. But his frontline achievements gave him credibility as a peacemaker after the Northern victory. When Union soldiers in their camps began shooting off rounds in celebration, Grant stopped the gloating, declaring that the rebels are our countrymen again. Eisenhower, too, placed peacemaking at the forefront of his campaign. Just before Election Day in 1952, he pronounced,
"I shall go to Korea."
It was a pledge to resolve a conflict that had become stalemated and unpopular. The general's benign demeanor contrasted sharply with the militarism of Douglas MacArthur, another World War II general with political aspirations. As pundits have noted, Wesley Clark faces many obstacles if he wants to be president. But he's mastered the two historical requirements. He doesn't act as if he needs the job, and he doesn't act as if he wants war. For a general, that's a good start.
Grant, 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 the country's calling. Goodbye, Andy, you must go. For the man who'll be our head, on to victory has led. For to Grant a traitor ever is a foe.
David Greenberg writes the History Lesson column for Slate and teaches history and political science at Yale. He's the author of Nixon's Shadow.
He holds our foes at bay, and we all will cheer to hear the happy news. He will oust the traitor horde.